Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an APP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP, and thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, what would you do if you felt yourself floating outside your body? Around your home. I'll answer that at the end of the headlines. Also, a listener describes his terror as something drags him out of his bed. A group of sailors find they may be sharing their stateroom with something else. And Grandma returns to slap the crap out of Grandpa. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hello.
What would you do if you felt yourself floating outside your body around and around your home?
I don't know. I guess I would be trying to wake myself up to see if I was in a dream of some sort.
I would spill water and see if that floated too. You know, like how they do in space?
Uh-huh.
And how water kind of floats around in blobs?
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought that it would be really neat to try and drink water that way. So I'd be totally cool with it. And then I realize, oh, water still has gravity. I don't. I must be dead. But if I was ever in one of those airplanes where it drops you. The vomit comet things. I would totally, totally try that. That looks really fun to be able to. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's probably a real big letdown because you're like, oh, that looks awesome. That'd be so amazing. And I can imagine when you do it, you're like, oh, okay, well, we did that now.
Yeah.
Now what?
Now what?
So, that's what I would do. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And I must remind you, last call right now for pictures for Seeing Ghosts, our video series for EPPs where we share some of the creepiest ghost photos that we get in. I got a whole bunch lined up for this next episode, but would love to include yours if you have one. So you can email that to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Include a bit of a description as to what we're actually looking at. That'd be helpful. And it may end up on our next episode that will be released here in a couple of weeks. So
awesome.
I'm excited about that. There's some really good ones on there. The first episode is already out in case you want to see it. You sign up to be an EPP, and it's on the EPP site, and there's some really creepy photos on that one. Two in particular that really stood out to me is like, what the hell is that?
Okay.
So, anyway, check that out, the new episode. We're putting it together right now. Let's go to our first story of the day, and it comes into us from Victoria. Victoria writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. Really wanted to share my weird experience with sleep paralysis and probably most frightening. For as long as I can remember, I've always had sleep paralysis, but never understood what it was. It wasn't always bad either. I could never open my eyes or move any part of my body. I was 19 and was extremely fascinated with the paranormal. However, I could never watch scary movies. So when the first Insidious movie came out, my sister wanted to go see it and made me go with her. I was terrified and could not sleep at all that night. Next morning, I had one class at the community college I was attending, and I was very exhausted from staying up all night. I came home and was hungry, but decided to lie down for a moment in my bed. My sister and I had rooms upstairs, and parents' rooms were downstairs. While I was lying down and my eyes closed, I felt myself get up and float downstairs to go make me a sandwich. I really mean float. My feet did not touch the ground and it felt like I was flying. Halfway down the stairs, I stopped and realized that I was no longer in my body. I was aware that my body was still in bed and I was not in it. Immediately, I flew back to my body and got back in it, forcing myself to wake up before some other being could take over it. I kept telling myself, wake up, open your eyes. I felt like something was coming after me and was trying to force myself awake. I couldn't. I could feel my whole body being lifted and levitated in the air as if someone was doing this to me and rolled my body a full 360. It dropped me back on my bed and I jerked awake in surprise. I was scared and shaking and I went all the way downstairs to calm myself down. I was the only one in my house, and before this, I had never experienced anything paranormal in my house. Jenny, I remember you talking about feeling like you were levitating while you were sleeping, and it made me remember this story. I thought I'd share it. Now it sounds crazy, but to this day, it still scares me, and I no longer take naps. I'm currently an EPP and tell my friends all about your show. Thank you all for sharing my story. P.S. Shout out to Oscar from Dallas. I used to live in Oak Cliff and was not aware of all the scary stuff around there.
I don't know that I've ever felt like I was floating someplace to do something. I've had dreams where I felt like I was just floating, but never like to go downstairs and make a sandwich. Or anything like that.
It's such like a random task. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm floating to go save my kitty from falling off the top of the fridge. It's just to make a sandwich. It's like a fairly like minute task as to why one would be floating. But it's one of those things where she felt like she was getting out of her body. She thought she was awake. So there really wasn't a whole lot of cause for concern because she was just her doing her normal thing and that part of her went and her body stayed.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder how often that sort of thing happens. And what happens when you leave your body like that in an out-of-body experience? Can something else take over that body? And can you be stuck out of it while something else takes over, something not so good? And then that other person or other thing that is using your body as essentially its vessel does whatever its deeds are.
I wondered if somebody else were in the home and saw that happening.
Sure.
Would they see like a ghostly image of you, or would that be something that they wouldn't see at all?
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where does it make you a ghost then? So is that one of the cases of where someone would see the ghost of a living person?
That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know. It's something interesting to think of, especially when you have people that do, you know, horrible, evil things. And then, you know, it's like, well, why would they do that? You know, did something take them over? You know, it makes you wonder about those sort of things. You know, it's where evil can really use a person.
Right.
You know, and who knows? It's a bizarre thing to think about. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Something evil like making a sandwich that doesn't have salami in it.
Mm.
You need a salami in the sandwich.
Yep.
What's your favorite sandwich?
Favorite sandwich? Probably turkey.
Just turkey?
Just turkey, maybe Swiss.
Just like one you made at home is what you'd say?
Yeah.
Mine is a grinder.
Okay.
From Mancino's Pizza and Deli.
Okay.
And we don't have any of those restaurants around here. In like some parts of the country, they exist, and it's the chicken one, and they are freaking delicious, and I wish we had one here. If someone would like to, you know, flash freeze one and send it to me, that'd be wonderful. People actually do that with In-N-Out Burgers. There is a whole business for that because there's a good portion of the country that does not have In-N-Out Burgers. We don't have them here. But for like, it's like 10, 20 bucks or something, they will flash freeze a In-N-Out Burger and then ship it to you. And there's some news stations I saw that did that. And they compare it to, well, it'd be like if you froze a strawberry and shipped it across the country and then thawed it out and ate it.
Yeah.
Kind of like a strawberry, but the consistency probably not quite there.
No.
It's like the ghost of the sandwich.
I would just save it for whenever you're in that area.
Yeah. It's a sandwich corpse. Otherwise. Mary. writes into us, I'm a new listener, just discovered your podcast about a week ago and have been binge listening ever since. It's become clear to me that this is the appropriate place to share my story. Something that I've been wondering about for years. I've only shared this story with maybe less than 5 people because of the personal nature of it and the sensitivities in my family. My cousin passed away very tragically a few years ago. He and another man were shot and killed early in the morning after getting in an argument with another man. I read about the incident on the news, only later found out my cousin was one of the 2 men who passed away. He was 21 when he was killed. After spending the majority of that day with family, I went home to my apartment. I had a roommate, but she wasn't home, so I was alone in the apartment. I remember sitting on my bed crying and reading my Bible for a while. I don't know how long exactly or how late I was up doing this. I just know I was looking for some kind of comfort to get me through the night after a very emotional and tragic day. When I had calmed down a little, I got up to go to the bathroom and got ready for bed. I was feeling fairly calm and peaceful by this point. When I grabbed the doorknob to open my bedroom door, however, I felt a chill run from it through my whole body. This sense of dread came over me. I saw in my head a vision of my cousin standing immediately on the other side of the door, cloaked in darkness. My cousin was half African American, but he appeared in my vision with skin darker than he had in life, with a distinct grayish hue. He was wearing a dark gray suit, something he would never have worn in life, and everything about him just seemed dark and heavy, and there was an almost palpable sense of fear about his figure. I felt that it wouldn't be safe for me to open the door, and I was certain that if I did, this ghastly version of my cousin would be standing there. I slowly let go of the door handle and crept back to my bed. I sat there for probably close to 20 minutes until the overwhelming sense of dread had lifted. I said a little prayer and felt the confirmation that whatever was there had gone and it was safe to leave my bedroom. As I stepped out of the room, I thought I had seen a shadow dart across the front room to my right. It happened so quick that I'm still not sure I actually saw it. I never had a vision like this again and never saw or felt anything unusual in that apartment after that incident. In the days that followed, however, other people talked about either seeing my cousin or feeling his presence around them. It's not unusual in my family for people to see or feel the presence of loved ones after they've passed. Every other person described it as a very calming, comforting feeling. However, those who saw my cousin described him dressed in white, surrounded by light, and continuing to tell them he was okay. This made my experience seem even more bizarre and, frankly, terrifying in contrast. Why did I see darkness and experience fear when others saw light and felt comfort? Was it because my experience happened so quickly after the traumatic experience? It was the same day as his death, after all. Or was it someone or something else I saw entirely? Something trying to mimic the appearance of my cousin. My feeling has been that it was the latter, but I'd love to get your thoughts on the matter. Thank you for providing a safe and understanding place for listeners to share their stories. Keep doing what you're doing.
I agree. I think maybe that was something else trying to show itself as the cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Just because everybody else had a different story and their story all seemed to coincide.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things where folks without a whole lot of sensitivity can be duped into believing, oh, that's the cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I think those that have more of a sensitivity side or whatever you want to call it, empathic side, psychic side, whatever, because I think there's different levels of all of that.
Yeah.
But I think folks who have that sense or are tuned into that side of their senses can easily determine if that is, in fact, who it's supposed to be or not, just by, you know, emotion and sense alone.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas someone who's not could easily be tricked by it. And then that's where we hear the stories of, well, they look normal. I didn't really feel anything weird, except their ear was backwards. Or so, you know, there's always like one thing not quite right. Their eyes were one color was one this, and then they, you know, something's off.
Sure.
About it. So that's a case where being sensitive and having to deal with all that actually worked out for the better.
Yeah, I think so.
So good story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Andy writes into us, I'm not sure if I'd classify my story as paranormal as I have history with sleep paralysis, but this one seemed different. I was asleep in my bed with my wife next to me when I felt what I thought was my covers being pulled away. Nothing unusual there, as my wife is a notorious blanket thief. I soon realized, however, it was not the covers being pulled away at all. Rather, I was being dragged from my bed. I felt my body slump down off the bed into a seated position, with my butt on the floor and my back resting against the bed. I paused there for a moment before being jerked across the floor. I was completely limp. I was dragged across the room to the far wall next to the door, and in an instant was up the wall, hung upside down. I believe this is the point I caught a glimpse of the jerk that had taken me from my nice, warm bed. I was plastered to the wall and on the ceiling, crouched Spider-Man style, with one hand wrapped firmly around my ankle, and was vaguely human-shaped, but somewhat smoky, an amorphous black figure. I looked at it, and it gave me that stereotypical inhuman mouth gape. At this point, I looked back at my bed to see my wife sleeping comfortably on her side, blankets disheveled from me being dragged away. I reached out to her and tried to yell, but all that came out was a raspy groan. I then woke up to my wife shaking me and urging, "Andy, wake up! You're doing that thing again!" She was more annoyed than concerned at this point, as she had to pull me out of such a state on a few other occasions. My zombie-esque moans are not her number one choice for an alarm clock, apparently. Anyway, once my heart rate settled, I drifted back to sleep and had no more incidents that night. Thanks for reading. Much love from La Crosse, Wisconsin, and of course, Go Pack Go, Andy.
Okay, so do you think it was a nightmare, or do you think it was just a different type of sleep paralysis?
Well, I mean, he wasn't awake.
Mm-mm.
He didn't wake up. It sounds like a nightmare. It sounds like a very vivid nightmare. It's one of those things where it's hard to go, well, this is paranormal for sure. I mean, obviously, it's fairly traumatic and somewhat of a pattern for him, but that still doesn't necessarily mean it is paranormal until we have something on the waking side of things that you can tie in.
I agree.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And we do get a lot of stories like that. That's a very compelling story, a very dramatic and detailed story. Andy, if anything else happens that's relatable outside of the dreams, where you can go, wait a second, you know, I saw this in the dream, or this happened in the dream, and then it happened, mm-hmm. or something, or you see that sort of an entity or something of that nature outside, let us know. Because, I mean, it could very well be, could be something paranormal. It could be something that's communicating through the dreams, or it could just be a very vivid, freaky-ass dream.
My question for Andy was if he remembers dreams that aren't nightmares, just regular dreams.
Sure.
Because I find that I'm not able to remember dreams after I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been a few times where I've had something I thought was more than just a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And those I can remember.
Sure.
So I kind of wonder if these are the only ones he can remember, or if he can remember most of his dreams without any trouble.
That's an interesting thing to think about. Here's an odd question.
Mm-hmm.
For people who have very vivid dreams like that and have them on a frequent basis, because obviously some people do.
Mm-hmm.
Could you develop something along the lines of like a PTSD from your dreams? From having it so frequently and such traumatic dreams? I'm just asking. I don't know the answer to that. I'm just wondering, because some of these dreams are so vivid to people.
Mm-hmm.
They wake up and they're in sweats and they're shaking, and it's not just, oh shit, I woke up. Oh, that sucked. That was a bad dream. Now I'm going to go back to sleep. You know, it's very traumatic sometimes.
Sure.
Could then that develop into something in the waking hours where it is along those lines? I don't know. I don't know. I'm throwing that out there because I'm wondering.
I don't know the answer either. I could see it definitely causing an anxiety to start occurring.
Sure.
People beginning to fear going to sleep.
Sure.
But I don't know.
I mean, obviously I know. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I'm not sure on that exact question.
Because I know, I mean, there's a lot of folks, you know, for example, who come back from combat and have mm-hmm. PTSD, and they will then obviously have nightmares. But that is a reaction or a something because of what they went through in real life. What I'm wondering is, can that develop solely out of a dream and solely out of what began there
mm-hmm.
in the dream and then into real life. And something, you know, I guess it could be anything that, that you're dreaming about that's traumatic if you're experiencing it.
I don't know for sure.
It's an odd thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Julia writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm a new listener and I'm hooked. You guys are great. I've always believed in the paranormal because I've had encounters from a young age. Today I'm going to share the one that disturbed me the most. Growing up, I lived in a house that I guaranteed was haunted. I told my parents this on multiple occasions, but they never took me seriously. Constantly, things would go missing for weeks and then show up exactly where I remembered putting them and where I had checked multiple times. I once even found a stuffed rabbit wedged between my mattress that I'd never seen before. My house was originally a doctor's office, but I can't imagine many people dying at a doctor's office. Maybe I'm wrong. However, I was about 15, and one night, while asleep in bed, I woke up randomly. When I opened my eyes, I noticed the other side of my pillow was indented as if there was some sort of weight on it. Knowing it wasn't one of the family cats because I latched my door at night so they wouldn't wake me up, I gasped out of surprise. The indentation that lifted from my pillow, and I felt a cold burst of air on my face as if someone had breathed on me. I immediately woke my parents, who insisted I was just dreaming and to go back to bed. Needless to say, I didn't get much more sleep. I never had it happen again, but whenever I was home alone, I felt as if there were eyes on me. My father is the only one who still lives there, and he now tells me that his things go missing and then show up at the very first place he looked. I'd like to add that I never felt threatened by whatever it was. It put off a pretty neutral, if not pleasant, energy. Even when I felt like I was being watched, I never felt like it was menacing. More like watchful. Thanks again, Tony and Jenny. Keep up the great work. Also, that holiday should be a spirit appreciation day, and it should be spent educating others about the dangers of dabbling in dark magic and Ouija boards. You should also make s'mores and share ghost stories. Thanks for being entertaining." It can be a very informative sit down. We're going to have a serious talk about this. No one speak unless spoken to. And you go through all of that. And then, okay, s'mores time.
Mm-hmm.
Goes from just serious and stern and scary to just, hey, have a s'more.
I'm thinking that maybe the ghost in the house was just wanting acknowledgement that it was there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it kept making things disappear and sure, then putting them back. And I do find it interesting that later on the dad found that to be something that happened to him too.
And all of growing up, do you think it made him reevaluate the dismissiveness that was going on with his kids growing up when all of a sudden these things started happening?
I don't know.
Or it makes you wonder if they were just dismissing to keep the kids calm and this shit was going on also when they were little.
That could be that he's just now saying that that happened too just because all the kids are gone.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I could see that.
Good story. Thanks for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. And remember, if you're looking for a convenient and very unique Christmas gift, an EPP membership would be the perfect thing for the paranormal lover in your life. It would be.
It would.
It's better than a box of Rice-A-Roni. It's better than, trying to think of other things it's better than.
I don't know.
Kibbles and bits, begging strips, although you don't usually buy those for human beings.
No.
Well, sometimes pets. Actually, we got a video the other day, and I'll reshare it through Facebook. Somebody posted it saying how much their cat loves our show. And then the video showed the cat, and they watched our show. They watched it on YouTube, I believe. It was up on their television.
Mm-hmm.
And on the video feed on YouTube of our show, it's this looping background of like a graveyard and bats flying around and shit like that. And the cat's just sitting there entranced, staring at the show because there's bats flying around.
That's cute.
So they're like, I'm not quite sure if the cat loves Tony's voice or the bats on the screen. It's one of the two. So I guess you could get an EPP membership for your pets. It's completely up to you, but it's a good gift for a paranormal lover. You can sign up to get that on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, that helps us stay on the air. Sign up for a full year membership. and get 1 month free out of that. Kevin writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. I've started listening to your show a few months ago and have been binge listening ever since. So this story happened to a few coworkers and I. We're in the Navy, so every other day we have to stand duty. The friend of mine was making his round and came across someone walking into a room. He thought it was weird and followed the guy in. Turned out no one is in there, so he goes and checks the next room. Again, no one there. So he freaks out, comes back to the office to tell us. We get the bright idea. Hey, let's go in there and see if we can find anything. So we get into the room, turn the lights on, started taking pictures. We didn't catch anything, so we started taking EVPs. We really weren't taking it serious, so you can hear us laughing in the background. We asked a few questions, pretty basic stuff like, who are you? Is anyone here? You know, the good stuff. As we started to play back the recording, we start to hear someone say hi, then hello in a deep, low tone. This freaked us out, and we start running out of the room. We listened to the recordings again and built some courage up and decided to go back in this time, taking it serious. So we do the same thing, turn off the lights, start asking questions. We start off with, who are you? Why are you in the Navy? Were you in the Navy? And we hear yes and ask, are you good? We hear what we think is no doubt or Diablo. Then we ask if it's good and it said yes. But we ask, do you want us here? He says, get out. Again, in a low, deep tone. We ask again, do you like who stays here? And again, we hear, get out. Your friend decides to randomly ask, are you a smoker? His response was, cigars. We decided that's enough and leave. We've always heard stories on our ship and never really experienced anything until we encountered what we think is an old Navy sailor who still resided in that stateroom. We plan to explore other parts of our ship and bring to light some ghost stories we've heard, ranging from little girls laughing, a phantom smoker, and an old chief that resides in the engine room. But that's our story. Thank you for reading our story and hope to hear it on the podcast.
I never thought about it, but I would bet that a lot of naval vessels are haunted.
Especially older ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That have been through combat of some sort.
Yeah.
What about ones that haven't been through combat? Just a lot of folks in and out.
I don't know. You know, that could be kind of like any other place that's seen a lot of traffic, mm-hmm, as far as people in and out.
Sure.
You know, maybe nothing has actually happened there.
Sure.
But they have some sort of attachment and they go back.
Sure. And I mean, and the folks, you know, on some of those, I mean, they're there for a long period of time,
mm-hmm,
when they're out, you know, to sea or something. I have, you know, cousins that are in the Navy, and, you know, we have no idea when he's going, when he's out, where he is or anything like that. And but it can be for, you know, a long, long time.
Yeah.
And so I would imagine, you know, folks, you know, that, you know, certainly would increase the odds of, even if nothing happens and it's just they're out wherever they are, just, you know, the emotional, you know, things that are going on, mm-hmm, you know, for wherever they may or may not be, would certainly have an impact on the vessel itself.
Yeah, and that's not to mention all the water that it's in.
Water, metal, mm-hmm, lots of electronics.
Yeah.
It's like a giant floating
conduit
for for things. Yeah, it really would be. Yeah. Good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. We do appreciate that. Of course, if you have a ghost story, there's lots of ways to get them to us on our website. Also by calling 855-853-4802. Reminder, if you're listening to us, whatever form you're listening to us on, press the subscribe button on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, TuneIn Radio. There's a gazillion podcast players out there that we're on. So press subscribe. That helps us in those rankings so other folks can find our show. And then you get all the latest episodes sent directly to you. You don't have to search them every single time you want to find a new one and figure out which is the latest. Just press subscribe. It's a win-win, and it's free. Paul writes in, I know you have stories of varying lengths, so I figured you might like a shorter one as a filler. When I was 5 years old, my father passed away. Sadly, his family had an argument with my family, and they stopped communicating with us. I grew up never knowing my father's family. Three of my grandparents passed before I was born, so my father's mother was my only surviving grandparent. Because of the dispute in my family, I never had a chance to know her. My grandmother had four beautiful grandchildren that she never had the chance to see grow. I do not know how she felt about the situation. It so happened that she lived to the age of 100. I know that she turned 100 years old since it was reported on a local radio show. I knew it was my grandmother, but after 25 years, I had no feelings of relation to her. A few months later, I was awakened in the morning. I always woke by 5, so it had to be between midnight and 5 a.m. I awoke from a dream that I had. In my dream, I was standing in my hallway near the bathroom. I saw a bright spot of light. This did not faze me, since in reality, it could have been the bathroom light that was shining in my eyes. As I watched, the ball started approaching me. All I saw was a light getting closer and closer to me. Eventually, it passed through me. I was dreaming and I was not afraid. When the light passed me, all I felt was a warmness and familiarity. This awakened me. I felt strange, but I figured it was just a dream. If I was afraid, I would have started saying my prayers, which I say when I'm awakened every day. I thought nothing of the situation. It was just a strange dream. Later that day, I got a phone call from my aunt, my mom's sister. She knew the history of the family. She also knew that we did not get a newspaper. She wanted to leave a message that my grandmother had passed away. She knew we would not react, but was just passing on the information. First, I did not make a connection, but then I remembered my dream in the morning. After we got details about the passing, we found that she passed in the morning. When I phoned my sister the next day, I told her the news. She's 10 years older than me, so she had memories of my grandmother. I mentioned to her that I had a vision that morning, and she said that she felt something as well that morning, but made no connection. I believe that my grandmother wanted to visit her grandchildren as she left the world. I will mention that I was living in the same house that we grew up, so my grandmother would have been in that house at some point in the past. Also, it's the same house that my father passed away in. I never discussed this with my two other siblings. This was 15 years ago, as is. Thanks for reading, Paul.
I think that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since they were kind of estranged a little bit.
Sure.
That she just wanted to say goodbye one last time.
Sure. That's a good story of where you have a dream-like state that then connects into something in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I agree. I think that she was just showing up, goodbye.
Yeah.
And she did it nicely. She wasn't like, I really didn't like this estranged relationship. I'm going to scare the hell out of you one more time.
Right. Yeah,
it was just, okay, we're all good. Enjoy the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. I'm a ball of light.
Yeah.
I don't know if she'd make that noise. What kind of noise do you think an orb would make?
I don't think any orb should ever make that noise.
She makes some sort of noise.
Okay.
I wonder what it would sound like.
Nothing.
Would it sound like a sweet Celine Dion song?
No.
Different Celine Dion song?
No.
You don't want that? What other? You want to request a different one?
No, I don't want any Celine Dion.
Other artists?
No.
You sure? Just checking. Another opportunity to change the song of the orb.
Okay.
Just leave it at Celine. Heath writes in, "Hey, y'all. My grandparents were your typical old married couple, still together after many years out of habit. My grandmother said that she'd get a divorce if she wasn't so old. She was the matriarch of the family, and while very sweet and loving, she'd let herself be known. My grandfather is stubborn, loves to talk, and fiends being more deaf than he is, or fakes being more deaf than he is, so he can ignore you and talk even more about them good old days uninterrupted." How many old people you think do that shit?
I totally would. If it would keep you from singing Celine Dion, I'd be all about that.
She can't hear very well. I'm just going to go over here in the corner and do the Titanic soundtrack. They're gradually like, what the fuck is wrong with those people? That was a bane of my grandparents' or grandmother's existence. She would often say to him that she wishes she could slap the dog piss out of him if she had the chance. Sounds like a lovely house. I'm sure it'd be a great holiday there. A few years after she died, my grandfather was the guest of honor at his small town high school. He was the very first graduate and made sure to tell lots of tall tales to everyone he met. The entire family was there, and we were the last to leave. As we made our way to all our respective vehicles, all of a sudden he let out a yell and fell to the ground. We were all expecting the worst. He soon sat up and hollered out, Who the hell was that? As he had a red mark on his face. First, we thought it was from a rock. He had to have tripped on it or something, right? Later on, that mark turned into a dark purple bruise, and that was then everyone could see what it was. It was the shape of a hand. I guess Mama got her chance to slap the dog piss out of him, finally.
I like that story.
Is that something you're planning on doing if you go before me?
I don't know. It depends on how much you annoy me between now and then.
That's not very nice. Why would you abuse me in death?
Because you can't do anything about it.
That's like evil.
That's not evil.
That's evil.
No.
Can't do anything about it.
That's great.
I'd probably find something to do. I don't know what. I'll start using a Ouija board and then start sicking things on my abusive ghost wife.
If I'm already gone, that's all you and your mess there.
Yeah. We've ever had a story where someone, like, to get rid of something, they attempted something on the other side, they attempted to use other things on the other side to get rid of it, to, like, scare it off. We've had stories of, like, dark things that seem to be attacking people, and then for whatever reason, like the guardian angel figure or whatever, mm-hmm. would be protective. But have we ever had anything where it's like someone actually summoned something to get rid of something else?
I think we have, but I'm not positive on that because I'm getting to where all the stories are running together.
Yeah. That'd be a real interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
Just, we take like just a sentence out of each story to make one giant story. That'd be kind of fun. Stevie writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm an EPP and have several ghost stories, but this is one of my favorites. The story takes place in 1999. My partner and I were driving from Montreal, where we lived, to Brooklyn, New York, where my grandparents were having a 60th anniversary party. On the way down there, we stopped at a mall in upstate New York to get lunch. We went to the food court, ate, got up to leave. We've been talking about one of my partner's friends who had a lot of body piercings, including a Prince Albert. Partner was telling me the story of how the friend had gotten the piercing when I noticed an old woman staring at us in shock. I turned to my partner and said, 'Keep your voice down, you're shocking this old lady.' 'What old lady?' my partner asked. I turned around, and there was no old woman sitting in the chair where I'd seen her. The thing was, I'd seen her long enough to see that she was a white-haired, grandmotherly type who had a horrified expression on her face. This was in the summertime on a sunny day at lunchtime. I hadn't noticed anything unusual except that I'd only seen her and then she disappeared. I'll send more, but as I said, I've always liked this one." There you go. Scaring ghosts.
Yeah.
That's a skill.
I think that's funny. It makes you wonder how many people you see at a place like that aren't really there.
Like a mall or something, mm-hmm. and you don't really realize that that's really not a real person. I'd have to imagine, I mean, obviously folks who are sensitive to these things probably see it more often,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, there certainly are some that I think anyone can see, sensitive or not, just because they for whatever reason, have that strong of a presence and can make themselves known to anyone.
Yeah.
You have to wonder.
Mm-hmm.
In large crowds, how many are real and how many are not? Do you ever see some of those photos where people are, there's like the theories of, oh, it's a time traveler? There's a lot of historic photos where there's crowds of people, and every once in a while there's some where there's someone completely out of place. And it is somewhat explainable. There are ways to kind of debunk these things, but it still leaves a lot to the imagination. Folks will, you know, they'll be, looks like they're using a cell phone in something from like 1958 or something.
Okay.
Or someone wearing a certain piece of attire that is from the 90s and it's a picture from the 40s. Things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them out there. It's fun to Google and look at these things.
Okay.
Because they're not Photoshopped. You can go back and find an archived actual, you know, and show it back to back. Okay, this is a real photo. I'm sure there are some that are Photoshopped, but there's ways of verifying.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some that just really make you wonder. It's like, where? How did this happen?
Yeah.
It's an interesting, creepy, weird.
I've never seen those.
Yeah, they're interesting. They're out there. Janet writes in, "I just became an EPP, and the only downside is that I am ignoring all other aspects of my life to binge listen obsessively, ignoring family, work, chores, and all other responsibilities. it's good. That's what we try. That's what we strive for. All kidding aside, it's great, and I'm so enjoying your work. Thank you. I've conveyed my own stories, of which I have limited paranormal encounters. Just this one year, I lived in a rental home with a ghost of a little girl. I've always been fascinated with the paranormal and will eventually ask all my friends if they have any encounters of their own. So I've been a collector of other people's stories my entire life, so I'll share the story told to me by one of my dearest friends and that of her best friend who lived in a haunted farmhouse in Bradenton, Florida. My girlfriend, who relayed this story, is very sensitive and one of those people that will pick up on energies more so than most other people. When she entered the home of her friend, Beth, she knew right away there was something there. Not malevolent, just there. She decided early on that she'd make it a habit to be in the home with many other people present, but not ever by herself. Beth was a person that had paranormal encounters in her life, many encounters as a child growing up and growing used to a resident, a ghost in her childhood home. So the activities were not something that was going to frighten or upset her, just because it's cause for raising of an eyebrow. The tale begins with Beth getting a roommate for her large home. She and her boyfriend didn't know the girl well, but she moved in and they were getting along just fine. One evening, Beth invited her then-boyfriend over to watch a movie, and they were snuggled up on the couch, engrossed in the film. They then heard a lot of movement upstairs from the roommate's room. She was apparently rearranging the furniture, which they found odd as it was the late evening and just out of courtesy for the other people in the home. An odd time to move the furniture. The other thing they found unusual was that the roommate was a small woman, petite in stature, and the furniture being dragged around the room was heavy and cumbersome. Why would she be rearranging the furniture so late and alone without asking for assistance? Why was she so indecisive, as it sounded like she was moving one piece of furniture from one side of the room to the next and then back again? Like she just couldn't make up her mind. And how many different ways can you place a bedroom set in one room anyway? Beth and her boyfriend just laughed it off and kept on with the movie and tried to ignore the sounds. The next morning, when Beth was in the kitchen, her roommate walks in, and of course, Beth asks if she finally made up her mind about the furniture arrangement. The roommate has this funny look on her face. She wasn't home last night, and she spent the night at her friend's house after having dinner and one too many drinks to drive home safely and spent the evening crashed on the couch. They went up to Beth's room, and there were no drag marks on the floor to suggest that the furniture was dragged anywhere, and all was in order. Beth wasn't aware that she had moved into yet another haunted home. She was again accustomed to sharing her homes with others of the spirit realm, so it was not something that she found scary or upsetting. One interesting side note, she often would hear the sound of the screen door closing in the kitchen, where there was no door. She was able to find some old paperwork showing the original plans of the home, built long before modern conveniences like appliances. The plan showed clearly a doorway that had been closed up to provide space years later for the refrigerator, and this was the exact location of the sounds of the screen door banging closed, regularly like the residual haunting, the soundtrack of the goings-on in a home from long ago. The sounds of voices that have searched for could never be located. Thanks again for all you guys do. The show is so great, and becoming an EPP was one of the best things I've done lately. I encourage your listeners who don't, done so, to join soon.
I think that's like what you talk about, where they're still living out the house as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The spirits are, you know, and maybe there was like, I don't know if the flooring's changed, but maybe there was like hard flooring in that room before and now there's carpet or whatever.
Sure.
Because they mentioned drag marks, so you would think that there'd be drag marks all over carpet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And we've had that before where people will be like, I'm hearing footsteps and it sounds like it's on hard wood, but my whole home's carpeted.
Mm-hmm.
It's that sort of thing.
And the screen door that's not there. That's fun.
That'd be great. You have a phantom screen door.
I love screen doors.
This would be kind of a fun one to have.
Mm-hmm.
The phantom screen door. Thank you for sharing your story with us. Phone number to call in is 855-853-4802. Tina writes in, when I was about 5 or 6 years old, my only sibling, a younger sister, was having a lot of health issues. She was only about a year old or two old, and she was having grand mal seizures. My mother's biggest fear was that my sister would have a seizure during the night and my mom wouldn't wake and my sister would die. The doctors were trying to figure out what medicine to prescribe to stop these because she was so young. Every evening, my parents would be downstairs watching TV after we went to bed. My mom said that they started seeing me every night standing at the top of the short staircase under the corner of their eyes. She said they'd yell for me to go back to bed, and when they'd turn around, and I'd be gone. This went on for several nights, and the next morning she'd ask me why I got up, and I'd tell her I didn't. My room was across the house, and I hated getting up in the night alone. So after a few nights of seeing this little girl, long-haired blonde, in a long white nightgown standing on the stairs, she decided to go catch me running back to bed. She got to my room after seeing what she thought was me, and I was sound asleep in my bed. She talked to my sister, and all was fine. She said my dad and her decided it was an angel that came to tell them that my sister would be taken care of through the night and not to worry. This went on for quite a while, and they got used to seeing the little angel every night, till finally the doctors figured out the right combination of medicine for my sister, and her seizures subsided. After a few days of her doing well, my mom was downstairs, and she'd taken a load of laundry out of the laundry room and was in the living room walking to the couch, and she felt something brush past her arm. She said she instantly felt relief and a feeling of safety. She said she knew it was the angel telling her that all was going to be okay from here on out and she wouldn't be needed anymore. She said she was telling me goodbye and they never saw her again at the top of the stairs. I believe in angels. I absolutely know my sister, who is mentally handicapped, has a guardian angel every day with her. I think this one was just letting my parents know they were there for her. I love listening to your show. Thank you, guys.
That's a really sweet one.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think it was either an angel or just some kind of protective spirit.
Sure.
But
it's interesting how that can be communicated without them actually saying, okay, here's exactly why I was here. I'm gone now, but it's just, you know, it's like just an imprint.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, bam, okay, you got it. And that's just how that sort of thing can be communicated.
Sure. Or them to know that's why she was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like downloading data.
Mm-hmm.
We hear that quite a bit
with
things like that. Thanks for sharing that experience with us from your life. Mike writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. When I was a young teen, we moved into a house in Bucklands Beach, Auckland. One night, I was just falling asleep, and suddenly there was a real loud bash against my bedroom door. I had to scoot to the end of my bed to turn the light on. On the floor in front of the door was the talcum powder from my dresser drawers. Across the room, it had hit the door so hard the lid came off, and there was powder all over the foot of my bed and on the ground. There was also a little dent in the door where it hit. On another night, I was lying in bed trying to go to sleep, and then my old man suddenly burst through my door and has a go at me, saying, whoever it is knocking on your window, tell them to fuck off. But on that occasion, it was him who gave me more than a fright than the idea that that he could hear something that wasn't happening. This one still haunts me now. I had swapped rooms one night with my older brother. I can't remember why now, but anyway, I woke up and couldn't go back to sleep. I could hear Mom and Dad talking in the kitchen next door because Dad must have just got back from work, so I decided I'd go and get a drink of water. Jumped out of bed, walked to the bedroom door, which is also where the light switch was. On the back of the door is my brother's big, fluffy, black dressing gown. I was looking at it as I approached the door in the low light, but as I started to get closer to it, it began to look like it was filling out. I thought, surely not, and I froze, staring at the dressing gown, squinting my eyes, thinking my eyes were playing tricks. But I could see the gown clearly, and the door behind it hung on the hook. I stood there staring at it. It suddenly and rapidly grew out from the door. The body of the gown and arms filled right out, like I was looking at a very large man with his back turned to me, hunched over in front of the door. An instant terror came over me, and I distinctly remember being very afraid that he was going to turn around and come at me. I freaked out right out there, and I screamed real loud in terror. I'll tell you what it's like, what it feels like, guys. It feels like when you're waking up or down a set of stairs, walking up and down a set of stairs, and you take another step thinking there's another step, but there isn't. It's kind of like that 100 times. My dad threw open the door to see what the bloody hell was going on, as he put it. I tell you, that grumpy old prick was my biggest hero that night. I can't really remember the rest of the night after that, knowing my folks, I probably had to sleep in the room. These things happen in the house, and a lot of things happened there. During the evenings, when I slept there, I left the light on. I'll be even more honest with you. and admit that even now I still have to have the bedroom door open and the hallway or bathroom light coming in my room, and I'm 39 years old. You can call me a coward if you like, but I'm a 302-pound powerlifting security guard that works dealing with people who want to bash my head in on a nightly basis. But I rather than that than what I had to go through as a kid. Doesn't matter how strong you are when it comes to something that materializes from thin air. It's a completely different torment. Sorry about the long blah blah, brother. I tell you about the other things that happen here soon. Cheers, Mike.
I think sometimes things scare us so badly as a child. It doesn't matter that you can physically outgrow, you know, what your fear is.
Sure.
It's going to stick with you.
Yeah, and something like that certainly would.
Yeah.
Especially where it's a constant torment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be something that really never goes away, no matter how big and tough you are.
Right.
You know? And he's exactly right. Things like that, no bounds as far as the strength of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, your name is... What's a diehard guy's name?
John McClane.
John McClane.
Okay.
Unless, of course, you're John McClane. Then anything is possible. We, by the way, have watched all the diehards in the last week.
In 1 week.
In 1 week. We've had a diehard marathon.
And we're moving on to Lethal Weapon.
Yes, we are. It's 80s movies marathon. All some of these are 90s. Some were even this year, or the last couple of years. Anyhow. Chris writes in. I was so close to knowing that name. I was like, it was on the tip of my tongue. I'm like, unless, of course, you're, damn it, what's his name?
You have watched four of those.
Yeah.
And they're 2 hours each. 8 hours, and you don't know the guy's name.
I don't know my own friends' names half the time. Chris writes in, I live in San Francisco. I've lived in my place for over 10 years. For a while, I always felt that I was being watched. It wasn't until a new friend of mine came for a visit. However, then I started getting interested in the paranormal. We were having drinks, enjoying ourselves, when he suddenly looked over my shoulder and said, how long have the kids been coming by? I never told him that I had often heard children in my apartment. Giggles, small feet walking. It was always every once in a while. Not often enough to warrant concern. He began talking about my ghost. I also never mentioned this to him either. He brought up things he should never have known about my experiences at home. I've known that there was a spirit in my place. We have a mutual respect for one another, and I know that he's a good energy. My friend began talking about sad stories and teared up a little. He started mentioning things that I had already known about my ghost, but more. An actual name, that the nickname of, that I'd given him, where he had died and while he was still around. He was calm the whole time, and at one point he wasn't even acknowledging my presence. Many guests that have stayed with me have told me little snippets of moments where they knew there was something else in the room with them, but my friend was full of talking, almost trance-like fixating on a section of my place. He finally turned to me and started talking about my childhood, events he would have never known. I asked him to stop. He blinked and his shoulders dropped. He looked tired and asked for water. After he left, and I looked into what he did. I've gotten different results. Some people claim he's a seer, some who can see things others can't. Others say a medium. All I can say is that he doesn't like coming over. He always closes his eyes and takes deep breaths as if to draw out multiple people talking at once. What do you guys think? Do you have any idea what he might be? I'd say someone I probably wouldn't invite over again. That's a little much when somebody starts to be able to know that much about you. But obviously a sensitive of some sort. But yeah. I'd be a little disturbed by it. Meta writes in, I've recently found your podcast and I love it. Full disclosure, I'm a skeptic. I'm intrigued by the paranormal, however, and love hearing others' experiences. I only have one real ghost story and I wish it were more exciting. When I was 15 and living at home with my parents, I had a 10 o'clock curfew, phone curfew. This was the 90s, so we didn't have texting capabilities back then. I did have a landline in my bedroom, however. So talking on the phone after 10 p.m. meant sitting in the floor in the corner of my bedroom and basically whispering. My parents' bedroom is very close to mine, so I was very quiet. One night I was talking to my boyfriend on the phone. As usual, the house was very quiet, other than their soft conversation. Suddenly I heard a radio. It sounded very close to me. I think it was a person, like talk radio, or maybe even a transistor radio. This is 20 years ago, so I can't remember the specific type station. It was soft, as if I had a radio turned on right next to me. I started to search for the noise, but I couldn't find it. I checked my stereo. It was turned off. I even muffled the phone because the most likely explanation would be that the phone itself was picking up a signal, right? The radio noise was not coming from the phone. It continued and was coming from the opposite direction of the telephone. It eventually stopped and I went to sleep. It really baffled me. My gut instinct is that there is a logical explanation, but I can't figure out what it was. Recently, I was pondering over it, and I tossed around the idea that maybe a car was parked outside and I could hear the radio, but I'd be able to distinguish the difference between the sound of a loud radio outside and a soft radio inside. I guess I was just wondering if hearing certain frequencies is a common paranormal occurrence. Have you ever heard of it?
I don't know that I have. Have you?
There are ways of people picking up radio frequencies in their fillings.
Really?
Yes, really. I'm not making that up. So that could be a possibility if you have fillings. And especially, you know, back in the 90s and 80s, there was a lot more use of like CB radios and ham radios and those sort of frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more common in those days where you could pick up things like that on household items if there was such a conduit in them for you to do that. Meaning items with like a little speaker in them. And you may not even realize the item has a little speaker in it. Not commonly. It really depends how the item is built and what it's made out of. But you could have, in theory, a smoke detector if it is built with essentially a little speaker in it. And it could pick up a frequency.
Hmm.
And, I mean, not all of them do that. And very, very few of them are set up like that. But it depends on how it's built. If it's essentially like a speaker of some sort in some sort of object, yes, those things could pick up a frequency, a stray frequency, and it would play it out of its, you know, woofer and tweeter, if you will.
Okay.
So that can happen. A child's toy, probably a better example, that may have a little speaker in it. That could also pick up something like a CB radio. Not all the time. You can't just like do a CB next to it and expect it to come out. But every once in a while, it'll hit the spectrum where that thing is and you'll get 2 seconds of the CB radio.
Huh.
So is possible. Yes. Could it be something else? Who knows? Sure. But I mean, I remember working in radio. There were people that we'd get letters and you'd have to. I couldn't confirm any of this as being legitimate or the people being mentally stable, but you have to wonder how legitimate some of this is, where people would be complaining about them hearing our radio station in their heads.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, where we get these, they would tend to be near the transmitter sites.
Okay.
So it's not that the people are crazy or things like that or wearing tinfoil helmets. That's where the filling stuff comes in.
Okay.
And where the vibrations can come off. Typically AM it would happen on quite a bit. And there'd be also complaints quite a bit of people who live near transmitter sites back in those days with broadcast television, where typically around a transmitter, signals are pretty strong. You'll wipe out anything nearby that's doing a signal, or it'll just override anything with a signal. And they would have problems with their television sets where they couldn't hear the TV because the radio signal would be overriding it.
Okay.
Just because of the strength of the signal, and they'd have to get special. Remember, the radio station actually had to buy like some sort of special box or something for them to fix that problem.
Okay.
And it's a fairly rare problem, but anyway, so it is a possibility.
Okie dokie.
More information than you wanted?
Yeah.
Let's talk about those fillings now, shall we?
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. And of course, if you like the show, please help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, get all those bonus episodes, exclusive video, and more on the website. Sign up, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.